T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We have spent this half hour for the last couple of weeks talking to a lot of different candidates who are running for a lot of different offices. I mean, everybody focuses on Donald Trump versus Joe Biden. Joe Biden focuses on Donald Trump when he can remember Donald Trump's name. God, when you hear him last night, don't get me started. But there are a lot of very important races all across the country and here in Virginia. One of the ones that's gotten a lot of attention is the 7th congressional district race. And Abigail Spanberger is the Democrat who beat Dave Bratt, who was a Republican, and she is up for re-election this year. This is the first time that voters have had an opportunity to say, hey, we like what you're doing, we don't like what you're doing, we like the fact that you're a Democrat and what the Democrats nationally are doing, because, you know, when you put Democrats en masse, they get to pick the speaker, they get to pick the agenda in the House of Representatives. When you put Republicans in the House of Representatives en masse, they get to pick the speaker, who will undoubtedly be a very different person and a very different attitude and a very different agenda. So here in Virginia, we got to decide, is this what we want? We want to continue with the Democrat agenda by sending a Democrat representative, or do you want a Republican representative? That's one of the issues on the table here. Delegate Nick Freitas has won the nomination of his party to challenge Abigail Spanberger. I was with Nick Freitas yesterday out in Chesterfield. God, the guy seems to be all over the place. I don't think he even sleeps at night from what I'm seeing on Facebook. And he's with us here for our candidate forum. Good morning to you, Delegate Freitas.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it was great yesterday. I have to tell you, you must have impressed somebody to get two sitting U.S. senators of the caliber of Rand Paul, the Republican who represents Kentucky, and Senator Ted Cruz of Texas to drive after the Amy Coney Barrett vote yesterday all the way to Richmond to speak to the crowd to advocate for you. And I don't think that's just you being connected to the D.C. crowd. I mean, they were really seemed to personally like you.
No, we had Senator Mike Lee who came down for us on Saturday in Spotsylvania, mm-hmm. and then Senator Rand Paul and Senator Ted Cruz yesterday. And I really appreciate it. I mean, all three of those people are people that have fought really, really hard for conservative principles. I think they do an excellent job articulating conservative principles. And working with them and getting their endorsement was not something where you just get a quick bless off. Each one of them sits down, meets with you, interviews you, talks to you about issues. They want to make sure that you understand where you stand and where you stand on policy. And so it's a tremendous honor to have their support.
It was interesting. Rand Paul actually said that he doesn't endorse many Republicans. And you know, if you follow Rand Paul, he's pretty independent-minded. I mean, he's a conservative guy, but he's a doctor. He's libertarian in many of his beliefs. So when he said that and he pointed directly to you, that kind of perked me up. Like maybe some of the moderates who were undecided in this race, who like Rand Paul, even though he's a Republican, might want to pay attention to his endorsement.
Well, I think one of the things that I know I've worked on with respect to why am I running? Why am I in politics in the first place? Mm-hmm. I don't like the idea that this is a debate between which party is going to run your life, mm-hmm. right? Democrats say they don't want Republicans to run your life. Good. I agree. I don't want Republicans to run your life, mm-hmm. but I also don't want Democrats to run your life. And that seems to be the biggest battle that we're in right now is I really think that the idea of American political discourse is people we elect are supposed to deal with those issues that have been assigned to them by the Constitution, but they're not there to micromanage your life. And unfortunately, the Democratic Party has really adopted this idea that their job, once they get in power, is to essentially micromanage every aspect of your life, from your kids' education to your health care to the business that you run. There doesn't seem to be anything they don't think they need to interfere with. And that's a problem for me, because I've seen that policy put in place in a lot of countries around the world, and it never works very well for the people. It always seems to work well for politicians, but it never works well for people.
I asked you this when we were doing one of your small business live broadcasts, and I was asked to be the moderator to go through some questions. And I listen to our broadcast every day, and Abigail Spanberger has purchased a lot of airtime to talk about this one vote regarding, if I'm understanding the ad correctly, autism. And supposedly you were the one member of the House of Delegates who voted to prevent insurance companies, or to restrict insurance companies, from covering autism. And I'm not sure that I fully understand it, but I want to give you an opportunity to respond to that. What is it? Because I think it's hurting you, the allegation,
sure,
at least.
We just released a video on our Facebook, too, talking about this specifically. But, I mean, this is the typical Democrat approach to something, is they come up with a plan. It's not a very good one. And if you oppose it, they say that you don't want to do anything at all. And this one's not only inaccurate, it's offensive to me, because I have two cousins with autism. I've carried legislation to ensure that parents with autistic children can direct their education dollars in order to make sure that they have control over the opportunities that their kids need, because any parent with autism, with an autistic child, will tell you that that is a critical part of their development. And every single Democrat voted against it. Well, this bill comes up, and it's essentially an unfunded mandate. It's just the government saying that, because kids with autism, they already have coverage. There was some additional things that they wanted to do, but they didn't assign any funding to it. And every time they do this, and they do this with a number of issues, and I've always voted against it no matter what they were doing, but they've done it with a number of issues where they pass an unfunded mandate, and then everyone's health insurance goes up. And people wake up when they're like, why did my health insurance randomly go up again? And most people's health insurance has doubled since 2013, and a large reason for that is because of this unfunded mandate policy the Democrats typically push forward when it comes to health insurance. And it's not the right way to do this. This should not be a paradigm where we have to hurt one person in order to try to help another person. We can help both, and we don't need to do it through unfunded mandates like they did. And I was willing to say no, because I've said no to every time they've tried to do this. It's horrible policy. It's caused a lot of people to lose their health insurance, and I'm done with that sort of approach. It's not the appropriate way to go around helping anyone.
What did you say to your Republican colleagues who apparently went along with the majority? I mean, maybe that makes you unpopular with them. I don't know.
Well, the important thing to understand is that this was not the first year that bill came before the House. Mm. It had actually come before the House, I think, several years before that, and each time it had usually died in committee because everyone understood that this was bad policy. Mm-hmm. And to continue to go down this road of unfunded mandates without allocating resources or removing restrictions that make it difficult for people to get the care that they need, this is not an effective policy. I don't want to try to assume why my colleagues decided year after year it was bad policy and then that year decided it was good policy.
They're probably scared of attacks like this.
Well, I did have one of my Republican colleagues look at me when I voted no, and he said, aren't you running for Congress? And I responded back. I said, yeah, I am. And I'm not. I was never elected to take easy votes because I was supposed to be motivated by fear of attack ads. I'm supposed to vote in accordance with what I think is the best policy for my constituents. And I'm supposed to vote in a way, even if it looks good or sounds good. No, if it isn't good, or if I know it's bad policy, I have to take a no vote, regardless of the attack ads that are going to be thrown against me. Mm-hmm.
One of the other ads that Congresswoman Spanberger is running is about pre-existing conditions. That's a common theme for a lot of the congressional candidates. It's certainly what Mark Warner is saying about Daniel Gade. I think Democrats are saying Republicans want to repeal Obamacare and make it so that you won't be covered if you've got a pre-existing condition. What's your reaction to that constant allegation?
Well, that's built upon two lies. The first lie is that Republicans want to take away your health care coverage. The second lie is that Obamacare was going to let you keep your doctor. It was going to bring down your rates. And it didn't do either of those things. I mean, it's called the Affordable Care Act, and yet your premiums have doubled since 2013. Millions of Americans got kicked off of their insurance or lost access to the doctors that they wanted or the plans that they wanted. And so the thing I always tell people is, when we're trying to fix problems with healthcare, the first place we should start is to stop listening to the people that deliberately lied to us. And they did. They deliberately lied to us. They knew when they passed that plan, there was no way everyone was going to be able to keep the coverage they had. There was no way they're going to be able to keep their doctors. Maybe they thought it was going to make things cheaper, but anybody with a basic understanding of economics could have told them it wasn't. And now those same people are pointing the finger at everybody else, saying that we're the problem. I don't know of a single Republican running on the idea of wanting to strip people away of their coverage or to hurt people with pre-existing conditions. All of us have, you look at bills that Steve Scalise put out where we said, look, yes, we do want to remove the dangerous regulations and the problems within Obamacare, but we will keep in the protections for pre-existing conditions. We have other programs for vulnerable populations. We'll continue to do that. We'll continue to support that. But the long-term strategy here is we have to increase the supply of doctors. You'll notice how Democrats always love to talk about coverage, because coverage is something they can essentially mandate through law. They can pass an unfunded mandate, and they can decree by law that you have coverage. What people want when they're sick is care. And if you don't actually increase the supply of care, which Democrats have gone a long way to restricting and arbitrarily restricting the supply of care by making it difficult to be able to get into the health industry, if you do that, then all you're doing is rationing existing care. And that's not what we need. The long-term strategy, the only way to get greater affordability, better prices, better access, is you have to increase the overall supply. And we can't do that if Democrats insist on trying to micromanage everything from Washington, D.C.
Well, that's an interesting observation. I mean, I remember back to the Clinton administration paying medical schools not to take students. And yeah. I mean, I was in my early 20s at that point going, why are we doing this? That seems so stupid.
We had a point not that long ago where if you look at the total number of students that applied for medical school that were fully qualified, only half of them were able to get slots. And we're not significantly increasing in order to meet the demand. And when you look at it, it ties directly back to government regulations, taxes. When your average hospital of 160 beds is spending $7.9 million just in regulatory compliance, it's almost the equivalent of 50 full-time positions that are there just to make sure all the paperwork is filled out right so the federal government doesn't come in and punish them. When you realize that the reason why your doctor can't get your family doctor, the reason why they can't give you a better rate in order to help you out if you're in a time of need is because if they're accepting Medicare and Medicaid, the government will come in and punish them if they give you a lower rate than what they're charging the government for Medicare and Medicaid. These are the sort of things that I don't think people are aware of, but it's the result you get when the people that have lied to you about how to fix healthcare continue to insist that they're the only ones that can control it.
We're going to take a quick break. If you'll hold on, I want to make sure I give you a chance to make your closing argument here. And I do want to ask you about the polling data and the other allegation that seems to be, I don't know why it shocks everybody, outside donors. That's one of the other ads that seems to always be on. We'll pick that up in a moment. We're talking to Delegate Nick Freitas, the Republican candidate for Congress in the 7th Congressional District. He's challenging Abigail Spanberger, the Democrat. Nick Freitas is back with us in a moment on News Radio WRVA. We're back with Delegate Nick Freitas, who is the Republican candidate for Congress in the 7th Congressional District, a huge swath of our listening area around Central Virginia. He's challenging Abigail Spanberger, the Democrat, who is currently in the Congress. And we're down to the last 4 minutes. I wanted to ask you about this ad that Congresswoman Spanberger is running. It's been running for weeks and weeks and weeks, saying you're accepting all this out-of-state money, which I got to tell you is surprising since so many Democrats benefited from out-of-state donors, including the former mayor of New York, Michael Bloomberg, last time. But what's your reaction to this hostility?
Oh, it's just that. It's absurd, because if you look at the amount of money that she's getting from out of state, if you look at the amount of money that she's getting from people like Majority PAC. By the way, when people see an ad for Majority PAC, think Nancy Pelosi, because that's her PAC. And what's interesting is she does all this bragging about how she doesn't take corporate PAC money. Do you know who does take corporate PAC money? all of those organizations that are collecting money, bundling it, and then giving it to Abigail Spanberger. So it's this idea where she's making a claim where it's one of those DC claims where, okay, technically, yes, you are not directly taking PAC money, but you're still getting all the PAC money. You're just laundering it through other PACs first. And so it's intellectually dishonest, and that's been pretty much the hallmark of all these attack ads. Is that they take something that they've pulled that they know people don't like, and then they put it out there without actually telling the whole truth, without actually explaining what's going on, in the hopes that people will just buy it. And the bottom line is she's been able to outspend us. And so the idea is if she repeats it enough, at some point people start to believe that, okay, well, you know, maybe there's some truth to it. The problem is that, again, she's either telling part of the story or she's hiding part of the story. And that's, I think, people are tired of that. And I think also at some point these things become white noise because they're so used to once they found that, okay, Abigail was dishonest about, you know, one of her attack ads, and she was dishonest about another attack ad. And then they find out that while she's going around telling everybody in the district that she's a moderate, you find out that in her voting record, she's voted with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez almost 90% of the time. At some point people just say, look, I don't buy it anymore. And there's no amount of millions of dollars from Pelosi's PAC that is going to overcome the trust you lose with your constituents when you have to lie to them in order to try to get reelected.
Down to the last 2 minutes, can I ask you, do you think, based on the polling, that you can actually win this one with all the Democrats going up against you? I mean, they have really targeted her for a win and you for a loss. Do you think you can win? And then I do want you to make your closing argument as to why you think you should be in the Congress representing Central
Virginia.
Well,
no, we absolutely know we can win. The reason why they're pouring so much money into her race at the last minute, because they did not anticipate having to do this, is because they know they're losing. It's because they understand that she is running. They are trying to run on a platform that in the middle of the pandemic, what they're going to do is raise your taxes by $4 trillion, which equals out to anywhere from $2,500 to $4,800 per household in the 7th District. They're going to massively raise regulations. We have small businesses that have barely survived COVID, but they're not going to survive the tax and regulatory policy of Joe Biden or Abigail Spanberger. They have a Green New Deal, a Biden Green New Deal that they're going to try to pass forward that's going to cause everyone's energy prices to go up. You heard Joe Biden talking about wanting to essentially eliminate the oil industry within the United States, right as this is the first time we've achieved genuine energy independence. This is what they want to do. Now, they're not going to advertise it. They're not going to show you a bunch of ads talking about how they want to raise your taxes. They're going to cherry pick a bill here and there and tell you how moderate they are. The real question before us as we go forward, though, is we look at what's been happening in our cities, as we look at what Democrats are suggesting, is what sort of country are we going to be? Because the country I fought for, the country I served 2 tours in Iraq for, the country that I fought for and the Commonwealth I fought for in the General Assembly has always been one where we put our faith in free people and individuals working in voluntary cooperation with one another. It's not one where we all of a sudden surrender that and just hope that the government's going to take care of us. And so ultimately, when we do want to solve things like how do we help our small business owners? How do we get health care to the people that desperately need it? How do we support our law enforcement and first responders in order to keep our communities safe? How do we get kids the education that they deserve? The approach that I take is one that says we need to empower individuals because they're the ones that know what's best for their lives, their children, their family, their communities. And Abigail Spanberger's solution, regardless of what she says on the TV, is to vote with AOC 90% of the time, and it's to give D.C. more power. She's more worried about D.C.'s budget than she is ours, and I think that's the problem, and I think that's what's going to make the difference on November 3rd.
Nick Freitas is the Republican candidate for the 7th Congressional District, a large area right here in Central Virginia, challenging Abigail Spanberger. We believe that she will be with us tomorrow. I've opened the half hour for her tomorrow to respond to this interview. Nick Freitas, I've enjoyed talking to you over the last several months and really appreciate it today. Thank you.
Hey, thank you again, John.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.